Who again? Who the ask question? On the screen. From where? Badagry, Lagos. Sister Donna, shalom, sir. Is it advisable for a sister to marry a brother who she's older than by 4 years? Listen, there is nowhere in the scripture that gives age disparity. That the condition for marriage is age. The condition is love. And the reason why people want to marry from the same age group, or you want the man to be at least older than you, is so that you can truly subject yourself to somebody who is older than you by age. But when it comes to love, love doesn't look at age. Love doesn't look at age. So if you love him, you tell him your age, it doesn't bother him, you marry, it doesn't matter. God bless you. No scripture against it.
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
Happy New Year to the bride of Christ. My question is, I've been hearing of love in marriage. Love in marriage. If love is important in marriage, why not God include it by saying, go and look for a life partner that you love? But only that, what God said is that, go and search for your own life partner. If love has an important role to play in marriage, God would have included it. But in this case now, we human beings are adding our own to the word of God by saying, we love ourselves. How can we love ourselves and after we break? How can you say that there is love in marriage and many marriages are breaking? So I don't believe that there is love in marriage. Rather, find your suitable life partner. The person you can manage life with. Do you understand? I think that you understand me. Because God is love. God is love. And whoever that loves is in God. And God is in him. Marriages are breaking now. Many, many marriages are breaking. And people are marrying because of one reason or the other. Either the man is handsome or the man has money. Or the man has influence. It's relatable. Even many people are answering pastors in order to marry. Why they are not called. So I don't see any love in marriage. If love is important in marriage, God would have included it in the Bible.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much.
How do you interpret this scripture, Ephesians chapter 5?
Here yeah, now. Bring and make us.
You are not with your Bible now?
No, I'm not. My Bible is there.
Okay, you can look at the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what the Spirit of the Lord is telling married couple. Verse 25. Read it now, brother. Read it
husbands,
now.
Husbands, love your wives.
Eh?
Husbands, love your wives.
Eh?
Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Can a wife give himself to her husband?
Eh?
Can a wife kill herself because of her husband? But Christ died for us because of us.
Can you go to Colossians again, chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3, verse 19.
Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them.
So what is your question?
My question is, there is no love in marriage. If love is important in marriage, God would have included it. Yes. This one is an admonition from the right.
Can God tell you to do something he has not given you? God expects you to love. That's why he's commanding you to love.
Thank you. Daddy, If there is love, Adam and Eve would have not disobeyed God. But because there is lack of love. Yes. Because if you love.
Praise the Lord.
Love cannot.
Okay, from
God.
The way you are going, me and you, we need to sit and talk. God bless you. Next person. Yes?
Shalom, brethren. So my question is, before a brother came to ask your hand in marriage, you have already...
Sorry, I have many more scriptures I wanted to give the brother. But from the way he's going, he's not ready to obey the Bible. Yes.
Before the brother came, you have already seen it in the revelation. Then
the girl has already seen the coming of the brother.
Sister, yes.
Yes.
So after that, the brother came, you know, and when you, when the brother went to the pastor, so pastor did not say anything, but at the back, pastor called the sister and said that he did not accept you to marry that brother. Then he brought another brother for you to marry. Then you did not accept that one that he brought for you to marry. And he's the pastor of both of you, both the brother that you won't accept to marry. So what would that sister do?
That sister should leave that church. You are in a dangerous terrain. No pastor, no man, nobody should use his influence and join anybody as husband and wife. It is wrong. Any man that does that is actually practicing witchcraft. It's manipulation. It is wrong. When Bible say, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, now pastor go take the position. The highest influence you can have from any human being is from your parents. And if God says you should be void of the influences of your parents, then why should a pastor go that way? Our responsibility is to counsel. The decision is yours. We can only counsel you and pray with you. But the decision is yours. As I am like this, if you bring a Muslim alpha and tell me that is the one you want to marry, I will counsel you scripturally that it is wrong, it is dangerous to go that. And at the worst, I will say, I will not attend the wedding. I will not attend the marriage. Don't involve me for inside. My hand no day. But I will not drive you from my church. I have played my part. I have counseled you. What if true? Now God, want to fulfill a purpose. As somebody said, to deal with you. Because you don't want to follow scripture. So that your eye go clear later. Or what if that is a seed of God? But it is not a doctrine. I am only trying to say, the Bible says we should not be yoked together with unbeliever. And you are bringing an unbeliever, I will read the scripture to you, I will counsel you, and that's all. That you bring a man to me because I am eyeing one other brother to join you together, then I counsel that. That is witchcraft. Any man of God listening to me now, stop that. Stop that. That's not part of our ministry. That's not part of the job God give us. God bless you.
Shalom, sir.
I know brothers
shalom,
that...
Shalom, sir.
I know one or two, in fact, more than that, several times that have come to me, some even from abroad. I travel and meet them abroad, and they tell me, Pastor, I want to marry from Bride Assembly. Pastor, give me a wife, one of those sisters. Inside my heart, I go say, Holy Ghost fire. All the people I know now for church will they see. All the people what we know now for church will they see. Because you they dress well. You they sing well. Every time you they give testimony. You they prophesy. You they see vision. Kai, this will be a good wife. Who told you the quality for wife include the singing? I see vision. I'll say no. I know they. I say sorry. Look for by yourself. You have brothers in Lagos. You have brothers in Nigeria. Send them to Brand Assembly and fine. So now if you go carry once, pretend I go put for house, it begins say, then you will say, now Pastor Moses, give me this. Now Pastor Moses, so I know day. Go and look for your wife by yourself. One brother came. He's naturally very shy. He said, Pastor, help me. I cannot stand before any girl to propose. He was well-to-do. He was, you know. He said, fine. I said, no, I can only teach you how to go. The only thing I will help you is if you identify the girl, then we can go behind and walk it. But now you point the girl where you're interested in. Then he pointed one gifted sister. And that gifted sister was somebody we like so much too. But we know she be gra-gra. And this particular brother is just quiet. He just came from another intermediate church. My wife is aware of what we're talking about. I say, hey, now this one, this boy like, hey. Cha, how we go do this thing? So we call the sister. There's one brother where they're interested in you. But with a fear for him. Daddy, what happened? You are gra gra gra. The guy is quiet, quiet, quiet. And the girl said, then it will balance now. I think they have about four children now. They were there. I think they have about four children now. Praise the Lord. That is the best we can do for you. But now you choose, oh, then we were helping your weakness of being so shy. And they are living very well. Love themselves like as if they are same father, same mother. God bless you. Yes.
Shalom, church. I have three questions to ask, sir. We are talking about Christian courtship. Why does a man do courtship before he got married? Well, what are the advantage of courtship, Christian courtship marriage, and the disadvantage of Christian courtship marriage?
What is the advantage of courtship?
Yes, sir.
As Christian?
Yes, sir.
The advantage?
Yes, sir. And the disadvantage of Christian...
Advantage and disadvantage?
Yes, sir.
The advantage of Christian courtship is that it confirms your choice. I don't know any disadvantage. Next question.
I want to say something, sir. I has a brother, sir, in a church. Before you get married, the sister, you go and pray. The brother, you go and pray. That's the way they got married in their church. Now, a brother saw a sister outside, and they came to the church, and they asked both of them that, have you married? Have you prayed before? Have you prayed? The sister said yes, that the brother is his husband. They asked the man too, did you pray? And the man confirms yes. the sister is his husband. After the marriage, 1 year later, divorce.
What's your question?
Now, that's another one again, sir.
Wait, another what?
I'm coming, sir. I'm coming, sir. Another one again, too. I saw a brother and a sister got married without courtship, and the marriage is still confirmed now to now. They are still married with happiness. So I want to ask, sir. That is why my question comes, that what are the disadvantage and advantage?
I have answered you now. What has that got to do with my answer? They did break because they did courtship before they married. That is why the marriage broke. Why do you liken that problem of divorce? So why are you linking the divorce to the courtship they had before they married? There's no link. That's why I'm trying to make sense out of your question. I can't get it.
No, sir. That's why I say the courtship comes from the courtship before you got married as a Christian.
You say, what is the advantage of courtship?
Yes, sir.
I say courtship is to confirm your choice. Okay. So that you are sure that what you are looking for is what you are entering into. What is the disadvantage of courtship? I say, I don't know any disadvantage. So, they had courtship, and then the marriage broke. It simply means, definitely, there were some threats they saw, and they thought they could contend it in the marriage. They decided to manage something, the signs they saw, they overlooked it, only to discover after marriage that he can't manage it. They could not keep themselves together again. But one other thing is this. They were not believers. No true Christian will get married if the two of them are Christians and opt for divorce under any reason. The only reason why they would divorce is that one of them has decided to throw Bible aside and decide to live like an animal. If you cannot have the word of God to guide you in your relationship, there's nothing that can keep that relationship. God bless you. Yes, sister. From South Africa, Elo Chuku, Igbo man for South Africa. Please, can an African woman do only African style of wedding, which is a traditional wedding, and leave the European style of wedding, popularly called white wedding? Because it surprises me when I see European men do only white wedding and African men do two wedding, which is traditional and white wedding. That's a very good question. That's a very good question. White wedding is not European. White wedding of wearing the white cloth and the veil is not European or American or this. It's not a Western tradition. It is actually a tradition of the Middle East. It is a tradition of it's an Eastern culture, which Christ has used that several times to make us understand the spiritual marriage that is going on between Christ and the church. It chooses that because it itself makes the physical marriage, the spiritual marriage, clearer and more understandable. Every aspect of that what do you call white wedding? Every aspect of it has something to do with the spiritual marriage that goes on between Christ and the church. That is the wedding, the marriage, what do you call it? The wedding gown, and the emphasis, if you notice, in the whole white wedding, the emphasis is on the woman. So that you will notice that all attention on that day, everybody is looking at the dress the woman is putting on. That is where it is. By the time you come to chapter 19 of Revelation, you will hear that the Spirit was saying that, how did he put it? That the marriage of the bride is ready. She has made her, the wife has made herself ready. Revelation chapter 19, where he says, verse 7, where he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb, and the Lamb there is Christ, is come, and his wife has made herself ready. What is the evidence of her being ready? Verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. What does this signify? For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So, that white dress she's putting on is speaking about the purity of the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God without spot or wrinkle. The body is properly covered, and there is a veil on her head, on her face. That veil there speaks of two things. Apostle Peter speaks about the woman appearing with shamefacedness, humility, a posture of being in subjection, in submission. Rebecca was being brought by Eliezer, Genesis 24, to her husband, Isaac. Before they met Isaac, Eliezer was busy telling the woman how the husband looks like, what to expect, and the rest. And the Bible says, as they were approaching where Isaac lived, a young man from a far distance, in the cool of the evening, anxiety, was waiting, wait, will my wife come? And the girl sighted him and asked Eliezer, who is that man? He said, that is Isaac. The Bible says, immediately she veiled herself. So, and the second thing, the veil signifies, and because of time, I don't have to go into too many. All that veil signifies something, including the wedding ring, signifies something. The action of the man unveiling her face signifies something spiritual between us and Christ. So all this, you know, is what is practiced. And it is not a doctrine. It is not a commandment. The truth is this. That woman becomes your wife after you have paid her dowry and the parents release her to you. Legally speaking, she is your wife. But we also, you have finished their own tradition, we also have our Christian tradition of coming before the servant of God to exchange your vows, and a pronouncement is made that you are now husband and wife. It is only then you can now go to live as husband and wife. And that particular ceremony, there is nothing in the Bible that says you must wear some wedding gown and all that. You can dress anyhow and come for that. You can dress It can be done at the altar. It can be done in the office of the pastor, anywhere, but it must be done in the presence of witnesses. There must be some witnesses. That's all. So it is not a white tradition. That's what it is. And in this church, we have taught you. We have tried by all means to simplify things, but denominational hangover is disturbing people. So this false living, false living, disturbing us. You go and borrow money to invite your enemies to come and wine and dine with you. People who hate you, they are tapping and then they curse you. Opportunity served for some people to smuggle some juju and throw it at you. All that nonsense. Then after, you see the way they run. During marriage, you see them confused. Wait up. That this marriage preparation, from money tonight. That this and that, this and that. If you have the money, go ahead. But you don't have the money. People who have the money, they don't run around. They just call event planners, bring the list. They release money, they relax. They have the money. You don't have money. You go borrow. They'll be jumping from friend to friend. Oh boy, what are you going to do for me now for my marriage? Oh boy, for bride assembly here, they call a committee of friends. Don't know where they borrow that thing from. Committee of friends. For the marriage of who? Who remain again? We never marry. Chibuzo. Committee of friends. You see them, they sleep, they know if you sleep. Go here, go here, go here. And if na Igbo man, the person come behold, Igbo tradition still dead. They cannot come and give invitation card unless they buy wine on top. I don't know where they got that thing from. And Igbo people, you don't produce wine. So why has it become your tradition? Una, they make wine for Igbo land. One, don't come meet me this evening with the card. Anytime they come, they bring bottle of wine. I go, they laugh. I say, upon all the things that they preach for here. They will steal everyone. Then in the church here, if the group leader and an Igbo man, he will say, you never come invite us officially. Oh. Brethren in the church, oh. And he has not come to invite us. He doesn't want us to come for his wedding. I'm your pastor. Let me go wait you. You will come to my office with wine. Daddy, I come for my invitation. I said, you're inviting me to come and wed you. No, be me. You will come and invite your father to attend your wedding, Abby. All this wahala. Sit down very well and think. It's just nothing but human being looking for wahala upon their head. Even after Jesus said, it is finished. One sister said, no. The brother don't get money. The sister said, no, me, I must wear a wedding gown. I said, let's find a solution. We'll go do office wedding, but we'll go rent white cloth, I beg. May she wear it so that you go snap the photo they hang for your parlor. At least they go see a photo of wedding gown with you, wearing coat. They stand there. That's what she wants. So we go rent wedding gown, call the brother, the ministers in the office there. We joined them. Then photographer came. Even he didn't have money to go hire photographer. Now IT people called the snapper. Then with ministers, all of us. With this one, the snap, wash picture, go do album. What is this? Our wedding album. The man no spend shish. Apart from, I don't know where he get the wedding gown from. Why do you suffer yourself like this? The only place you are to suffer is when you are paying dowry. as the way you should fast, that the parents will not suffer you too much. After that, any other thing, simplify it. Like I said, anyhow you want it, anyhow you want it, if you can afford it, no problem. But please don't come and meet me that in my wedding. What do you go take help me now? Me help you. What do you help me for my own? And anybody will come demand, hey, daddy, where my wedding present? Then they demand present. Then they demand the gift. If you have to demand, but daddy, you are not giving me my wedding present, it means you are tasking me. I'm supposed to give you willingly, not because you demanded for it. If you have to demand for it before I give you, something is wrong in the relationship between you and me. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm just saying it. The brother, Oluchuku, what's the name? Oluchuku from South Africa. So don't make it look as if it is Christian until Roman Catholic and Anglican and Cooking ERCC and I think Equa and some others. That white wedding, your marriage is not recognized until you do that white wedding. So they, after they don't marry, he said, we don't feel remain wedding, I remain. They don't bow first picking. He said, we are still planning for our wedding, second picking. There are some weddings, the picking, maybe flower girl, now they are picking. It's because they don't even know the meaning of that white wedding. If they know it. If you go and marry in this church, you go for your traditional marriage and you take the woman, the girl, to your house, and we discover that is no wedding, no wedding. We'll only bless your marriage. We'll just come, we'll pray and bless your marriage. You won't come here and say you're wearing gown and coming here. You have forfeited it. Because the meaning of the white wedding is already defeated by you taking her to your house. You have refused to pass through the altar from the village. You took her to your house. What are you coming for again? Thank you. Yes, sister, let's hear you, please.
I'm sure. You are in courtship with
someone. As you go.
Online people.
Good morning. Hello?
Go ahead, okay. You're on air. You're on air.
This pastor in Bayelsa. Hello? There's this pastor in Bayelsa that got married for almost 6 years. And just as a sudden, in, let me say, last year, he said he's going for the mountain. So he went for this mountain, left his wife for almost 1 year. While coming back, he came with while he was in the mountain, the Holy Spirit, I don't know whether he's the head of the mountain, I don't know what actually happened there, said that woman he has married for 6 years is not his wife. So this issue came up in the church, and the people in the church could not handle it very well. So as I'm talking to you now, he collected all his clothes. But while he went for they were building the house. This woman was the woman that was the church, taking care of the church, built this house to you. Today, the house has been completed. But he did not have the power to go to the house. They're saying that this woman is an evil spirit. This woman is she's a devil. There's no sort of lady at all called. But now, as I'm talking to you, he just removed his clothes from the house and left and back to the new house. Never allowed the woman to go to that new house. So to no avail, they have tried and tried and tried and no way. He just agreed to pay a 2 bedroom flat for this woman for her to pack to that place. He left her dead and he's not married now. So what I'm trying to ask Is it spiritual for you to get married and you go to the mountain? After coming back, you now say you will not marry your wife and you have divorced her.
Sister Edere, have you not buried the one talk?
Edere.
God bless you. God bless you from Bayelsa State. That man is a fake pastor, one. That man is a liar, two. That man is an adulterer, three. That man is a wicked man. He's a serpent seed. A heartless man. Which one remains again? What did he say again? Hallelujah. And do you know that there are people that will still sit in that type of church and say, "Now my pastor. Now my pastor." They will even be encouraging him. That is Christianity these days for you. There's nothing in the Bible that will warrant that type of thing. A wife is not a material you go and buy in the market that you can discard because you see another one. It is for better, for worse. And you are not qualified to be a pastor when you don't have a successful marriage, according to the Bible. That is the kind of thing that is happening in Christianity. Satan smuggled this type of people to mess up the Christian faith. That man is not a Christian. He's a minister of devil. God will help them. There's nothing you can do. He's not a Christian. There's nothing. That's what he has decided to do, and there's nothing you can do over it. He took off to go to the mountain for 1 year. Which type of pastor? He's not even a pastor. Now maybe he's bearing title pastor. But how will he leave his sheep and go to the mountain and go and stay there with a woman? It was no mountain he went. He was living with his girlfriend outside somewhere. And eventually came to push that one away. Abe, ask me Christian question, not that kind one. Yes?
You're in courtship with someone. And
me?
No, me. Uh-huh. Someone else. The person is in courtship with someone, and when you got to know about the family, you found out that the family is a kind of family that will give you problem when you enter into the marriage. And so because of it, you decided that you're going to do court wedding. And the court, you stated that in that court wedding, it's going to be, if this man dies, everything that belongs to him will belong to me. And the family has no rights over his property unless you decide to give him the property and you become the head. Because after him and his kids, you are next of kin. Sir, is it wickedness, one? And is the decision you take as a Christian to do court wedding, is it wrong?
Let me, I don't know why you were laughing. I mean, she was just saying the obvious. By any means, whether it is court or traditional, if you are legally married to a man, if he dies, there is the law of testation. Why? Am I correct? There is the law of testation. The law of testation, even if he didn't leave a will, he died intestate. Am I correct? What it means is that there is a provision in the law that says if the man dies without a will, what should be done to his estate? And there is nothing in that law that makes provision for the relations. If he doesn't have children, everything he has goes to the wife. If he has children, then there is the law that provides for how the children would share the property. So whether you go to court or not, just be sure that that man has paid a dowry on your head. you are legally married. If after the man dies, the relation come to take one pink, picking, don't pick a lawyer. Police will first arrest them. And by the time they finish, they will pay you plus compensation on top for stressing you. If it's a good lawyer, there's one of them here you can use. It is ignorance. Now, one of the reasons we go to court, you know, it is to have a recognizable document. Because sometimes, for instance, if you go to, what do you call it, embassy, you want to get visa to almost every country, if you say you are married, they will ask for marriage certificate. And the one that is most recognized is the one from the court. And many other things that you may need the certificate for. And secondly, the certificate from the court makes it more difficult for the man or either of you to break the marriage. There is a law. If you have a certificate from the court, only a high court can break that marriage. And the procedure you go through is really hectic. And there are laws to follow. Secondly, it makes it more difficult for the man to go and marry another woman and go to court and marry her. He has committed an offense and it is 7 years jail if it is found out. So it further protects your marriage. And every church, that's why it's good to have pastors that are also enlightened to watch over people, counsel people. That's why this church, we have our church certificate, but we also know the importance of the court certificate. So we are licensed by the court. They give us the court certificate on their behalf to join marriages and then take a copy and take it to the court for your own file there. So we issue you the certificate here. We issue you two certificates here, one from the church and one from the court. Whichever one you need, use it. That's what we do in this church.
So my second question.
Yes. And that is where what most churches do.
You want to get married to a man that you love very much, but your parents disagree due to certain things they think or they believe is going on in their family. But this man is the man that God has ordained that you live with him, you'll be happy with him, you'll bear children for him. How do you go about it?
You pray. Because it is good to have parental consent. So prove to them that this man will be an exception to what they know. The man too should prove to them that he'll be an exception. And pray that God will touch their heart. God answers prayers. And he will touch their heart. Yes, brother. On the screen again, this is Bayelsa again. Titus Neze. I've been in Zewnawan, right? Shalom, sir. Is it possible for a believer to have a spouse manipulated from satanic kingdom to him or her? How do you handle such situation when you eventually get divine revelation about it, bearing in mind the fact that there is no provision for divorce? You will take him or her for deliverance, Shikena, and break that power that they are using her or him against you. Go for deliverance. That's all. Yes?
Shalom, church. After the courtship, after everything in the day of the white wedding, I discovered that the Bible didn't discover in the Bible that in wars or in sickness, in every other thing that some pastors are pronounced, I think that the pastor is attaching devil to your marriage. If he reject those pronouncements, is this sin?
Like how?
I discovered that some pastors are attaching devil to some marriage.
Attaching?
Yes.
Attach what?
Because they say in sickness, in worse, in better, in worse. Yes. If he rejected, is it okay? Or So marital vow, in marital vow. Because I never see it in the Bible. Even Adam didn't accept this one. God never pronounced for him. Even I study in the Bible, I never see it. Even Isaac, all the people in the Bible. But some pastors are attaching the devil to the marriage.
Let me read one scripture for you.
Yes.
That same Ephesians chapter 5. Let me see if it will help understand what you are saying. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Are you with the Bible? Or if it's on the screen, then you can see what the Bible says. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, it's a commandment, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you know the meaning of that statement? How did Christ love the church? He loved the church until he was ready to die for her. And he actually died for her. Can you die for your wife?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
If you can die for your wife, then can sickness, poverty, any situation separate you from a woman that you can die for?
But if we cleave to Jesus, he said that we have overcome all those sins. Because the Bible says the sickness by his stripes we are
healed. Then why will you have to die? Why will you have to die for us?
The pastor attached those ones to us again. Who will we overcome?
I say, listen, the pastor is only trying to break it down for you. He didn't need to break it down. He will have just asked you a question. Are you ready to die for one another?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Which one is worse, death or sickness?
Apostle Paul said to die is gain, but to sickness is not a gain. That's what I discover.
Your case is serious. I bet you see me after. You can see me after we talk.